Good morning to each one. Greetings in Jesus' name. I trust the songs you just sang are your clear testimony from your heart. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We're singing his praises all the day long. My, is that your experience? I wish it was mine, you know, because there's times, some days where those praises come just a little hard, and there's other things that come. And so, good reminder for me, you know, how is it with me? On the job this week, I met up with Mr. Bill, and so I asked him how he's doing. He says, good. He said, I woke up this morning. So he kind of went about airing up the tires of his tractor, and I pondered that for a bit. I'd heard similar statements that I pondered. And he aired up his tires. I kept working, and after he was done, I said, you know, Bill, I said, your comment made me think a little bit. I've been thinking about that ever since you said that. I said, the real question, or the real thought behind all that is, what really matters, I think is the way I said, what really matters is if we didn't wake up this morning, that it would still be good. Because a lot of people say, I woke up, I'm still, you know, I'm not, at least I'm not 6 feet under. My question is, what would be wrong with that? Right? What would be wrong with that? And so, how are you doing this morning? You glad to be here? I trust you are. But would it be okay? Would we still be doing good if we hadn't woke up this morning? And I think it's good for us to think about that. It's a very simple thought in a way, but yet very important thought that we need to keep thinking about. How is it? How is it with our life? How is it? For a message this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, let me read verse 1 to start off with. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This morning we want to consider running with patience, running with patience. You know, we all have a race before us, okay? Here it says, the race that is set before us. This is talking about God's people, I believe. And there is a race before us. Now, we don't know how long that race is going to be. It may be long, it may be short. And that's not determined by your age, by the way, okay? It's really not. But the older a person gets, the shorter that race appears. At least it should be. But I'm certainly not old yet. But I tell you what, the race before me looks a lot shorter than it does what I already came. Okay? And but the length of it is not our subject this morning. The subject this morning is, are we running with patience? Are we running with endurance? Are we running with what? Patience, with endurance, with goals in mind. Now, the race that we run is not always an easy race, okay? It's not. Our life isn't always a bed of roses, like we would say sometimes. And it's scattered with difficulties, with challenges, with problems, with reverses, reverses in what way? Well, material things, right? And so it's not always easy, we say. But is that okay? Is that okay with us? Think about what it says here. It starts off with saying, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And so obviously that's referring to Hebrews 11, right? There's referring to these witnesses that were gone before us. And there's quite a number of them listed here. And we can spend all day today talking about these various ones here, but we are familiar with Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, like we often call it. These are a cloud of witnesses. Witnesses of what? Well, let's go ahead and just read a few verses, starting in verse 33 of chapter 11. Well, this has built up here. The Hebrew writer, he talks about a lot of different people throughout this chapter. And he only gets as far as, what is it? Moses. Okay? In verse 24. There's Rahab in verse 31. And then he says, see, that's only the very beginning of our Old Testament. That's as far as he gets. Then he says, well, verse 33 or verse 32, he said, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. How does your life fit in? How easy is your life? How peaceful is your life? How good do we really have it? Because this is quite a description here that I have never faced in my life. Majority of these things I've never faced in life. And I think safe to say, probably none of us really have. There's a lot of things here. But notice this. We're talking about this cloud of witnesses. Now notice this in verse 39. But these all of these, having obtained a good report through faith. They all obtained a good report through faith, regardless of what they faced here. And so if you and I are looking at this list and say, we haven't even experienced half of these kind of things. This is the cloud of witnesses that went before us, and they obtained a good report. That means that you and I can too. Okay? These are witnesses of faith. They're strong faith in God. They did all these things through their faith in God, and they are witnesses that it is possible to do it. And friends, this morning, you and I can too. That's what this cloud of witnesses is telling us. And so as we look at this cloud of witnesses, we are compassed about the whole way around. And not only people back here in the Old Testament that is talking about, not only these people, we have people that have gone before us. Maybe it's family members, maybe it's others, maybe it's church members and etc. that has gone before us, that is a witness to this living in faith and what it can do for us. And you know, I just have to think of my mom. She's 84 years old, been through a lot of hard things in life, that she wondered many a time how it's going to work out, how is this going to be. I know very probably just a little bit of her, what all she's experienced in life, growing up days in Mexico and on and on. But I know a little bit of it, but it's been a hard life. But you know what, Mom, it's strong in faith today. And then she says, you know, I just wish my faith would be stronger so that, I said, Mom, your faith is so strong already. You know, to me, that's another witness that is there. And so you have people that you can think about that as witnesses there. Maybe they're alive and maybe they're no longer alive. But, you know, they've been faithful. They have obtained a good report unto the end. And friends, this morning, you and I can too. And so we're encompassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. Now it says to us here today, this morning, let us lay aside every weight Now, this is often referred to, along with the rest of the statement, and the sin. Well, this weight isn't necessarily sin. It's not necessarily something evil, is what I'm trying to say, okay? It might be sin in our lives, but this weight is things, okay? Talk about running a race. And so what are you going to take with you? How are you going to obtain your goal? Are you going to backpack a good bit so that you can have something that you're dragging along? No, the focus is winning the race. The focus is ahead of us. It's there. We've got a goal to meet. And so what am I dragging with me, hoping that I can enjoy all these things while I'm running a race? That's what these things are saying. We're hoping it's not going to help us in a race. We understand that. It has nothing to do with our race. But we want to enjoy these things while we're running a race. And friends, those things can be weights. Because guess what? If I got my goal on that, you know, on that, I got my sights set, and I want to win this race. But you know what? I want to enjoy these things with me while I'm running this race, and I'm backpacking a lot of stuff with me so that I can enjoy this while I'm running this race. Inevitably, it's going to drag me down. It just will. It just will drag me down. And so what are the weights in your life and in my life this morning that are dragging us down? This is talking about things, I think. For the most part, this is talking about things that we try to obtain and load ourselves down with and get involved in and things that we spend time with. You know, I was talking to a young man recently, and he talked about, you know, an evening he'd be sitting there on his chair, and his Bible would be laying there open. But, you know, his cell phone dings, and he picks up his cell phone, and after a while he finds out that he spent a good bit of time on his phone listening to stuff, you know. Good stuff, though, you know. It's there, and it's probably profitable. It can be. And then after a while he realizes it's bedtime, and he hasn't read his Bible yet. It seems like there's a weight. Yeah. Seems like his cell phone might be a weight. And so we talked about it a little bit, you know, and it's not the only thing. So often we refer to this technology, and it tends to be a weight that the children of Israel didn't carry with them, by the way. But we do today. This is a weight that could be there dragging us down, and it could be who knows what. We're using that weight, if that's what it is to us, it can be, to research what we can do with other weights that we already have. And so lay aside these weights. Why? Because verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And so, and it talks also about, before I jump ahead of myself, it talks about laying aside this weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And the sin which does so easily beset us. One little girl said, and the sin which does so easily upset us. And you know, that's, yeah. Being upset is a sin, okay? All right. But this sin, so this is going to be a hindrance to running this race with patience. So what is he trying to tell us? This verse leads right up to verse 2 here. So we got these witnesses that is saying that it is possible for us to be faithful. We can obtain a good report. He says, look, lay aside those things that are dragging you down, that you're trying to drag along, and the sin which is keeping us from our goal, and we need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's telling us that Jesus is enough from the beginning to the end. It's the author of our faith. It's one that has prepared it so that we can be faithful. He's there. And Hebrews tells us that the early part of the book of Hebrews tells us that we can be his brothers. And he's not ashamed to be calling us his brothers. And that's a powerful thought. And so we've got this. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, it's enough. It is enough. It is there. And so he said, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There was a lot of things that was, may we say, against Jesus and his teaching while he was on this earth. He could have fit into some of these things that we read about in Hebrews 11. He faced a lot of those things. Well, in verse 5 in this chapter we were just reading here, it says, "For consider him, consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." Oh, he faced that over and over and over again. But he had the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He said, it's okay. There's people, there's you and I, that are going to be coming down the line some generations, many generations later. All right? They are coming and they are sinful and they're going to need a Savior. You and I needed a Savior. And that was the joy that was set before him. It wasn't just, look, if I can just endure this, I can sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's not what the joy was set before him. It was the salvation of you and I. And he says, for that purpose, that is a joyful thought to me. He says, that's okay if I got to go to the cross with it, because I've got a goal in mind, and the goal is salvation for lost sinners, such as you and I. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so, well, if we think we have it heavy, if we think we have it difficult, and we do sometimes, I'm not trying to minimize that necessarily. I'm just trying to lift up and magnify Christ, that we can be faithful in that. He said, so consider him, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. And sometimes we get there. It looks overwhelming. These problems are stacking up. When are we ever going to get ahead with anything? And why did I fail in that again? Lest we be wearied and faint in our minds of all the things that bombard us from throughout the day and the load on our minds, whatever it may be. Let's consider Jesus. He says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood as we strive against sin. And then he goes on to say, and ye have forgotten the exhortation, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. What does chastisement have to do with all this? It ties right in here. He says, and you have forgotten. And sometimes he says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know, this chastisement, we often think about chastisement as being a punishment or being a discipline of some type that it hurts us, okay? I don't think that's all that's involved in the word chastisement. This chastisement he's talking about here, part of this chastisement, and I think he's talking about the spankings that we receive every now and then from the Lord as well, but this chastisement has to do with training and teaching, okay? So let's take the example of young children. And so if my little son, which I don't have anymore, but if I had a little son and he would act up the first time about something, do I whip him right away? I need to teach him that he actually did something wrong. He needs training. He maybe needs a sit down and we talk about it. Well, I wouldn't do that at 14 months. Wouldn't hardly understand it maybe. But what I'm saying is that they need to get a concept of what's right and wrong. There's a teaching and a training that's happening. And if it continues to fight against it, even though against better knowledge, you know what? Finally, discipline happens. Here recently, I was working in the shop along with my oldest son and his little boy. And the little boy is, what, 20 months old, roughly? And so, you know, he wanted to see what's happening up on the workbench with Grandpa and with Daddy. And so I set him up on the workbench, and he was there watching us work and doing some woodworking projects there, and he wanted to keep grabbing these tools. And no, Daddy said, just leave him alone. Well, but I kind of wanted them tools, and so he kept grabbing up them tools, and finally, you know what Daddy had to do? He had to take his hand and slap it a little bit, and the message went through. So there was teaching, there was training, and after a while, there needed to be a little harder chastisement. And you know what? He left the tools alone after that. That incident probably happened again, but you know what? Line upon line, and they learn. And that's the way God teaches us. This chastisement, you know, that we face in life sometimes is that saying no, is that teaching and that training, and God does this patiently with us. Now, notice a beautiful thing here, and it was already talked about in Sunday school or throughout the service prior to this, But notice what he's talking about here. I'll read again verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Notice what's happening. This is a son-father relationship here. This is a father-child relationship here. And so if we endure chastening, if we endure this teaching and training that God is allowing into our lives from time to time, those afflictions, those hard times, those reverses, those challenges, those rebukes that we get sometime, we got a father and child relationship going on here. The reason that my son told his little boy not to be grabbing them tools is not because he was upset at his son. It wasn't because he didn't care for him. It wasn't because he was angry at his son. And he slapped his hand not because he was angry at him, because he loved his son. He wanted him to be obedient. He wanted him to learn to obey when daddy says no. It was a love relationship. That's why my son did that. And so what we're seeing here is with the chastisement, this teaching and training that God is wanting us to do, and those hard things in life, those challenges, those difficulties, those whatever we face in life, is a teaching time between a father, a heavenly father, and a child that he loves so much and he cares about. And he does it because he loves us. And so we need to think about these things. This is all entering into this running with patience, the race that is set before us. And so he says here in verse 5, he says, don't despise these things, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And so as we think about running this race, we think about these laying aside these weights, and sometimes these rebukes have to come, and we realize that, you know what, I've been dragging some weights around. Somebody had rebuked me for what I just did. Rebuked me for, remember I said somebody. So God uses people. Many a time, God uses people to rebuke us, to remind us. Oh, that's right, I got sidetracked with this. My goal was heaven. My goal was looking unto Jesus. My goal was obtaining a good report. My goal is to be faithful unto the end. That's my goal. And so we were rebuked because I got sidetracked with these things. But you know, all that is a sign of love. It's a sign of sonship there. Why? Because if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And this morning we claim to be the children of God. Is it okay if we face these things in life? Is it okay if God corrects us? Is it okay? Yes. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now that scourging stuff doesn't sound good at all. That's painful. You know, it reminds me of an older man I used to work with years ago. He's gone to his eternal reward. Oh, dear saint. But he taught me so much of life. Rebuked me different times and helped me. But back when he was a young father, he was in a setting in a plain group anyway where he was raising tobacco. First, of course, he hadn't given it much thought because this is what you do. But he gained conviction against this. God spoke to him and said, this is wrong what you're doing. You not be raising tobacco anymore. Now, he told me the story himself. Okay, this was years before I ever was on the scene. But anyway, he told me the story, and he said, I knew when I planted tobacco I shouldn't be doing this. God had already told me not to be doing this. And he did it again. And he did it at least the second year after God had convicted him about it. And as he was hanging his tobacco, harvesting his tobacco that fall and hanging it up there in the tobacco shed. You know how that happens. So at least some of you are familiar with that, possibly. At least have seen it done. But anyway, he was up there in the rafters hanging up this tobacco in this tobacco shed, and something broke, and he fell down, and he broke his leg, and I'm not sure what all on the way down, and there he was, and somebody else said, finish up. And as he was laying in bed, recuperating from his accident, he said, if I would have just listened to God. And he said this, he said, I think it was God spanking me for not obeying him. And bless his heart for thinking of it that way. But you know what? It possibly was. He took it as a chastisement. He took it as a scourging. He took it as a spanking that God had told him to not be doing what he's doing. Okay? And he changed his ways. Oh, godly old man, when I knew him. And so sometimes God does that to us. It doesn't mean that every time you fall that God's spanking you for something. Okay? Now, that happened 2 years ago to me, and I've been thinking about that. I was thinking about that. So now God had other plans, okay? I don't think it was a spanking on my part. I think I was doing what I was doing was okay. But, you know, these things we face in life, those challenges we face in life, but you know what? It's simply a sign of God's love to us. Because we know he knows we want to run this race. We are in a race. And we are in this race because Jesus is the author of our race. He has prepared our way. He has saved us. And it's a sign of his love. Now, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. That's exactly right. Right? But nevertheless, or it says here, nevertheless afterward, right? And so this little boy you've got by your hand and you're leading him to the woodshed or to the bedroom and you need to deal out this punishment. It is not a joyful trip. It's not for dad nor the son as you're heading for discipline. It's not a joyful time at all, okay? But afterward. I tell you one thing, you know, as a dad, there was something extremely special that after the administration of whatever needed to be done, there was a hug, and I love you, Dad. Afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Well, it set the child on a better course. And the reason, I kept telling my son back when I did it, the reason I'm doing this, son, especially when he was older to comprehend this, I want you to be the best boy you can be. That was my goal. That was my aim. I want to set him on that course that Jesus would call for him. I couldn't make that decision, but I wanted him to learn these things in life. That's what God wants us to do. Now, it's these things that we face in life, these challenges, these hard things, these trials that we face as we're resisting against sin, these weights that we got to put off, the sin that we got to put off, all these kind of things. It's not necessarily a joyous thing to say no to things or to realize and experience these hard things. But afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, this morning, as we think about these things, do we feel like a victim to life circumstances? There's a lot of people that do. They just look at life and say, why is life always hard? Now I got to do this yet. Now I can't do that. Now I got to give that yet. Now I need to give money. And life is just hard. And so we focus on the hard things of life. So are we a victim to life circumstances or are we a son that the Father loves and he's teaching and training me to run with patience? There's such a difference of how we view life. Such a difference. So this morning, you know, you and I can view life, view the circumstances, the things that we face as a son to his Father and say, Father, thank you for loving me enough to correct me and to teach me and to train me and to help me through these things and spank me from time to time as I need it. Now, there's two reasons he does this, two blessings or whatever we want to call that. In verse 10, But he says, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Wow. Partakers of the holiness of God. That's why Jesus is teaching and training us. That's why he's disciplining us. That's why he's spanking us at times, so that we could be partakers of his holiness. Then in verse 11, okay, it's not joyous but grievous. Afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, this exercised thereby does not refer to only those that experience these hard things in life. No, those who are responding in a proper way to the teaching and the training that we get. Okay? You know, have you ever seen an undisciplined child? You know, that have kind of left to themselves and have never got correction? You know what you do nowadays? You just hand them a tablet, okay? Keep them children quiet as they sit in a shopping cart while mom's shopping. You just keep them quiet by... No, that's not teaching and training them. It's teaching them something, but it's not the proper teaching and training we're talking about here. We know what proper disciplined children are like. We know what the unruly ones are like. We've seen that, okay? And so we work to teach and train. And we know the contentment that comes with that, and the happiness that comes with that, and the satisfied and the peace that comes with that. Rather than the children running, ruling the roost in the household and turning it upside down, and parents just somehow, whatever, you know, nothing we can do about it. Unfortunately, they don't realize. But, you know, for us as believers, as the sons and children of God, God allows these things. Afterward, it yieldeth this peaceable fruit of righteousness. We are content. We properly respond to the teaching that we get, to them that are exercised thereby. And so if we respond properly to the teaching and the training and the chastisement of whatever scourging and rebukes that we get, there's this peaceable fruit of righteousness. This peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, he goes on to tell us here in verse 12, wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And so, you know, he's telling us, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. He uses a beautiful word picture here, the hands that hang down. You know what? When you're discouraged, it's just like, whatever. Right? Okay, so this word picture we have here, somebody that's discouraged and saying, I don't know if I ever get anywhere in life. Well, if our focus is material goods, well, I think our focus is at the wrong place. We're looking unto Jesus. We're running a race. We're living in this life, and we've got heaven as our goal. We've got the presence of glory. We got the joy that is set before us. That's our goal. And so let's not be discouraged. He says, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Look at the whole picture. What are we focusing on? We're focusing on our problems right now. No, let's not focus on our problems right now. Let's look at the author and finisher of our faith that was willing to suffer all kinds for your and I redemption, the joy that was set before us. We got joy set before us as well, friends, this morning. Even though we face these contradictions, these hard things in life, we've got a joy that is set before us. Yes, we do. And so let's not be discouraged. Let's look at the whole picture. Life may be hard, but he's talking about... He's encouraging us to take courage. He's telling us to take courage, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Make straight paths for your feet. How do we make straight paths for your feet? You know, I think what he's telling us here is simply this. Look up. Look up. And determine in your heart that you want to be ready when Jesus comes back. Okay? Now, is that too simple of a thought? No, we want to be ready when Jesus comes back. I was reminded that over and over and over in my life, and I still am. My dear mother, I told told you about before, reminds me to this day yet that we want to be ready when Jesus comes back. My mom is not a highly educated person. She cannot even read the Bible. German struggles with it. But she's got one thing in her mind. She's going to run with patience because Jesus is coming back, and I want to be ready. And I want to be ready. And so the straight path for our feet, we determine in our heart that we want to be ready when Jesus comes back. And the other thing that we do when we pick up courage, we take up this courage, these hands that are hanging down, these feeble knees, and we wonder how we can go on. We make straight paths for our feet. We're looking ahead. We're not looking down no more. We're not discouraged. We're going to claim God's promises. And these promises are here for us, regardless of outward circumstances. These promises are here for us. So what are His promises? He says, very few of them that I'm going to mention here. There's many more. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, did you catch it? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we have that Father going with us the whole way through whatever we face in life. Okay? Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work out together for good to them that love God. Really? So everything that happens to me, it all is for my good. It works together. Okay? It works together for good. It's a beautiful thought. And so the things that I'm facing now and today is for my good. These hard things in life, the challenges, etc., the struggles, those battles, those reverses, whatever it may be, is for my good. Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Now this is another promise. So the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open. You know what? This gives us the encouragement that if we need to cry out to God, His ears are open. He's going to hear that. He's going to hear that. You know how mama's ears are tuned at night, even when she's sleeping? When that baby cries over there in the crib, mama hears that. Daddy's can usually sleep through that, right? But mama hears that. Her ears are tuned. She's asleep, but she knows that. Years ago, when it was my turn to take care of our son, when he got a little older at night, mama slept through it. My ears heard that, okay? But the Father's ears are open unto your cry, my friends, this morning. When you are facing difficult things in life, it's not that God said, just choke that back, you're going to make it somehow. No, cry out to God about it. Cry out to God. It's okay. He wants to hear that. His ears are open and His eyes are upon you, and He sees that and He hears that, and He wants you to do that because He knows we face difficult things in life, but His promises are there. This is a promise that He has. Another place in Scripture says that he runs to and fro throughout the earth and showing Himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him, or something like that. Okay? And so His heart is perfect toward them, but what if my weakness is God? Yeah, but your heart is set on being faithful. And so He's going to be strong. These are promises, my friends. These are promises that we can hold on to. And there's many more. There's many more. And so as we make these straight paths for our feet, He says, let it rather be healed. Let it rather be healed. You know, the other thing that we need to do about straight paths is this. Determine in your hearts that giving up is not an option. Okay? Now, for you married men here this morning, so if things happen in your marriage that are a little rough and difficult and you got things to work through, you know, the last thing of our minds is that, well, if my wife's going to be like that, I'm going to divorce her. Out there in the world, that happens a lot. I hear that, okay? We hear that are out there in the business world, we hear that. But you know what? For you and I, that's not even an option. We don't even think about that. And so as we think about running a race, we think about being faithful, we think about this running with patience, but yet life is so hard and so, what's the point? Giving up should not be an option for us. It should not be considered as an option just the way divorce isn't considered an option. I know a man that was struggling with so many difficult challenges of life. He says, I don't know if it's really worth it. I think I'm just going to give up. I said, so what's the alternative? How's that going to pan out? What's that going to look like if you give up? How much is that going to actually, we're talking about improving things here, not making things worse. And so is this going to help? Oh, it's like, all of a sudden he realizes that, no, that's going to make matters worse. Okay, so giving up should not be an option for us. We make straight paths for a field. Let it rather be healed. Let it rather be healed. You know, outward circumstances might not change a lot if we surrender and we just allow God to work in our hearts and we accept his promises. The outward circumstances might not change a lot, but our hearts can be healed and we can become a useful vessel in the kingdom of God if we allow these things to be healed. Because is healing possible? Yes. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, he tells us. He came to heal. And so what are the hurts? What are the damages? What are the things that we face? What are those things that have the sores in our lives, those troubles in our lives? Our hearts can be healed. We can experience that joy and that peace in spite of circumstances. Isn't that beautiful? Not a lot of circumstances change because our focus changes and because of what we get involved in changes. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And so he says, let it rather be healed. And as we do this, we can find that peace and that joy. We can run with patience. Now, he also says here in verse 15, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We need to be very careful. We need to search out God's promises and claim God's promises and claim that strength and that grace there closely. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And you know, friends, this morning I have watched people allowing this root of bitterness to grow in a person's heart because of circumstances of life. You know, the hard things of life. Things aren't going the way I thought they should be. People aren't treating me the way they should be. I know of one man years ago that because of he had his goals and set on that he was going to be as financially secure and stable and as financially rich as his dad was, and he was not able to obtain that. Somehow he was not able to get there somehow, and it worked on him mentally to the point where he took his own life. That bitterness that crept in, it grew from a root to a big tree, and finally he jumped in the river, literally. This root of bitterness, okay? No, I'm not expecting any of us to do this, but you know what? There is within us the potential of focusing on our problems and our difficulties so much that this root of bitterness takes hold and saying life just isn't fair. And when we start making those kind of statements and dwelling on that too long, friends, this morning, that is on the verge of that bitterness. Is seed is there. That seed is a bitterness is there. And oh, friends, this morning, don't let that happen. Get rid of that, unless many be defiled. And I know the story, the continued story of that man that jumped in the river and this bitterness had taken his life. Many were defiled because of that afterwards. There's many that, no, they never went that far, but the root of bitterness had defiled many generations to come. And oh God, have mercy for that to happen to us. No, we can let it rather be healed. Okay, don't allow that bitterness there. And this morning, we want to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're running a race, friends, and we can run with patience. We can endure. We can obtain a good report. Others have before us. You and I can too. No matter what your life looks like. Jesus is here to heal, to supply, to encourage, to bless you, to give what you need, to remind you, to spank you, whatever you need, so that we can run with patience the race that is set before us. So let us keep our eyes on Jesus and run the race that is set before us. Remember this, just a few thoughts here in closing. Remember this, God truly does love us. Whether the spanking is hard, whether the rebuke is there, God does love us. Yes. There is a cloud of witnesses before us who were faithful and received a good report. And I've told you before, but you and I can too. Yes, we can. Because of Jesus, because of these promises. 2 Peter 1 tells us that he's given us everything that pertains unto life and unto godliness. Okay? He's given us all those things, and so we can be faithful. So this cloud of witnesses saying, look, we were too, and you can be. Obtain that good report. As we face the days ahead, we face the rest of our race ahead. Let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And you know what? None of us know how close to the end we are. None of us. Okay? It's not going by age. It's not when you reach a certain age. When you reach a certain age, you can expect it. Okay? But we can all expect it as far as that goes. You know what? We've reached the age where we can expect it anytime. Okay? And so let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's joy set before us. We can run with patience. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, our Father, we thank you that we can call you our Father, and we can call you upon you this morning, and we thank you that you love us. Father, we thank you for what you're trying to teach us. And Father, sometimes we struggle. I think it's safe to say every one of us struggles with what you're trying to teach us through life sometimes, and in life and through others. But Father, I pray for me and for all of us here this morning that our hearts would be open, our hearts would be soft, our hearts would be pliable to the potter that wants to work and take those flaws out of us and make us holy and perfect before you, Father. And so, Father, help us to run with patience. Father, we don't know what the race is going to look like this coming week and the days ahead, Father. But you do, and we want to look unto Jesus. We want to have our sight set on that and be faithful, Father. So I pray a blessing upon everyone here this morning. Father, as we go about our daily work, upon this group of men that will be down in home area, wherever that is, ministering to the people there, I pray that you would bless them, protect them. Each one of us, as we go about our callings and responsibilities and challenges this week, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And Father, help us to be faithful until the end, when we can be in your presence and faith will become sight. And Father, that's a joy that is set before us, and help us to run with patience unto the end. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.